Their approval means nothing to him because the standards he sets for himself are so much higher than anyone else can possibly set for him. Win or lose, all he thinks about is how he could have done it better, or smoother, or faster, or some other way than how he did it. So the job gets done, but he's still always thinking about how he could have done more. That's the relentless pursuit of excellence. Always believing in your ability, demanding more of yourself than anyone else could ever ask of you. Winning is an addiction. The great Vince Lombardi once said, "Winning is a habit," which is also true. But I think it's a habit that inevitably becomes the addiction. You can't understand it until you taste it, and then you can spend a lifetime craving more. You feel it in your gut, and the dull ache of your dark side begging for it. When you're alone in the zone, you know nothing except the unwavering hunger for success. Every choice you make, every sacrifice, every moment you spend alone preparing and learning and dreaming, it's all to feed that addiction. And if you ever once feel the need to question why it's necessary to work so hard, or wonder if it's all worth it, just go ahead and quit. You don't get it. It's hard to describe the enormity of winning when it's combined with the realization that to repeat the experience, you have to start all over again, go through the whole process, and work even harder for an uncertain outcome. When I first started working with Kobe, Juwan Howard went up to him after a game to say he'd been working with me for a long time and talked about how I had helped his longevity. Then he asked Kobe how many more years he wanted to play. "Until I get number 6," Kobe said. He didn't answer in years, which is what Juwan asked. He didn't answer by age or the length of his contract, which is how most players address that question. He answered in rings. He already had 3 at that point. He got 2 more the following seasons. As I write this, he needs 1 more to reach his goal. 2 more, if I have anything to say about it. That's the addiction. Others think about how many years are left on their contracts or how many seasons are left in their worn-down bodies. The great ones don't even consciously think about it. There's just one automatic response. Win. They don't think about if or when they'll hit their ceiling. They don't believe they have a ceiling. They just keep going, and they leave on their own terms, when they want to, not when anyone else tells them to. A few years ago, I was working with a player trying to come back after surgery, and he said to me, "I just want to get better so I can get even with everybody." Well, that got my attention. "Say that again," I said. "I just want to get even with everyone." "Define even," I said. "I want to get back at all these people who said I couldn't do it." "You know what even means?" I asked. "It means you're equal to them, right next to them, side by side." Silence. Do you truly want to get even with everyone, or do you really want to get ahead of them? Why stand next to anyone when you can push beyond them? In the game of basketball, you get around someone so you can get past them. Play this game the same way. You go for the win, you don't settle for a tie. He got it. Not everyone does. Think about the people you know who are so talented and gifted and capable, yet completely void of the ability to advance, as if an invisible cap were over them. Most people allow themselves to be limited that way, either by what others tell them or what they think of themselves. And they decide they can settle for whatever they have under that cap. My job is to get you to bump up that cap. In everything you do, I want you better and stronger than the last time you did it. When a player comes to me and says, "I'm going to get a triple-double tonight," and then he goes out and gets the triple-double, and everyone gets all excited, all I can think is, What was stopping you last night? A cleaner performs for himself, and everyone else wins. Whatever he does to satisfy his goals internally transfers to them externally. When he achieves what he desires, everyone else around him benefits. If he's the boss and his company makes a massive profit because he worked around the clock maneuvering a huge deal, his employees win. He's the guy who hits the game-winning shot because he practiced that damn shot 1,000 times every single fucking day. And his teammates get to go home winners. But they'll celebrate, and he won't, because he'll be looking at the stat sheet, skimming over the positive stuff, and going straight to the negative. 30 points, 10 assists, damn, 2 turnovers. And that's all he's going to remember. Oh, the night I had 2 turnovers. He played a near-perfect game, but to him, not perfect enough. The drive to close the gap between near-perfect and perfect is the difference between great and unstoppable. You never shake the uneasy feeling that you can't ever be satisfied with your results. You always believe you could have done better, and you stop at nothing to prove it. Is it an ideal way to live? I don't know. It's not easy, that's for sure. You hope your family and friends ultimately understand. They might not. Your whole life is essentially dedicated to one goal, to the exclusion of everything else. Whether you're focused on business, sports, relationships, anything, you have to be committed to saying, I'm doing this. I'll give up whatever I have to give up so I can do this. I don't care what anyone thinks. And if there are consequences that affect the other parts of my life, I'll deal with them when I have to. That's Kobe. Everything he does is all about excellence. Everything. Nothing else matters. You hear people say that all the time. I'll do whatever it takes. But he truly lives it. Every detail of his life, every hour of his day, the lonely time he spends in the gym, the people he seeks out to help him maintain that excellence, everything revolves around being on top and staying there. That's why we work so well together. He has one focus, and I have one focus, our shared addiction to winning. And everything we do is about that one objective. But when you're never satisfied, life can be lonely. People think success will make them happy, but when you experience it, it's usually different from what you imagined. You'll have what you desire, but be prepared for the possibility that you'll be standing alone because you have the balls to take the unpopular path and you went to extremes that others won't ever understand. You'll finally have everything you dreamed of, but now you'll know for sure what you suspected all along. Nobody else understands what you went through or what you did to get there. To me, never being satisfied means being prepared for any situation, ready to adapt seamlessly without panic or fluster. It means scrutinizing every detail, paying meticulous attention to things no one else would even notice. I don't have to watch the ball go into the basket. I know from looking at the shot whether it's going in. That's my job, to show you why your wrist needs to be here and your elbow needs to be there, why this shot isn't working and that shot is perfect. I show my players how it all works together, and they can't believe it. That's what separates me from anyone else. I never overlook the details, and I'll make sure you don't either. But when you live and work that way, it can take its toll. And one of the biggest challenges facing highly competitive people is burnout. You win that prize, you make your money, you get the glory. It can be awfully tempting to lie down and let someone else carry the load for a while. The pressure, the scrutiny, the strain on your personal life. It affects just about everyone. If you work in anything other than sports, you have options. Change jobs, change careers, take a sabbatical, go back to school, learn a new part of your business. In sports? Forget it, unless your talent and skills are so extreme that you can afford the time away, such as Michael going to play baseball. To me, that's what made him the greatest. He had the ability to control time when he was in the zone, and he was always in the zone. He left and returned, refined his basketball skills, and it was as if nothing had changed. But otherwise, athletes don't have the luxury of time. They only get a few short years to leave their mark, and they're done before most people their age are just getting started. At some point, though, every elite athlete just gets tired of putting in the relentless work it takes to be exceptional. It's especially common with athletes who've become successful at a young age, such as tennis players and Olympians, who feel they never got the chance to be kids because they were always working and training and traveling and competing. If you never had a chance to be a kid, you want that for yourself, because it's completely instinctive to want to have fun, ignore the rules, and just forget about responsibility and goals and performance. I get that. But I'm convinced childhood is overrated. You can have a much better childhood as an adult when you have freedom and the affluence to enjoy it. You get this small window to be a legend, and you have the rest of your life to act like a kid, at any age. Push it as far as you can, and even if you make it until you're 30 or 35, you still have decades ahead to enjoy what you built for yourself. Some athletes know they're done, and that's it. But when that burnout hits a guy who isn't done, it's extremely hard for him to find his way back to where he was. Maybe he won a title, took it easy during the off-season, and returned the next year feeling a little content and satisfied. Usually only one thing can bring him back: the competitive spirit, the idea that someone else is about to take what's his, the realization that while he was content to get fat and lazy, everyone else was still lean and hungry. Then he has to get busy playing catch-up, or he won't be the champ for long. In Michael's Hall of Fame induction speech, I heard him say something that made me think, "I thought we were done, but now I'm not really sure. I'm still not sure. I'll be ready just in case." A cleaner feels burnout like everyone else, but the idea of walking away and not thinking about what he walked away from creates more anxiety and stress than keeping it going. That addiction is still demanding to be fed. That's why you see guys retire and return. They're still not satisfied, and they still have something to prove. Not to you, but to themselves. The pressure is all internal. You have to crave that pressure, embrace it, and never let up. You don't have to love it. You just have to be insatiable for the results. I've accomplished and experienced enough impossible things to realize that nothing is impossible, and every day I crave the challenge of proving it. It's why I only train athletes and not Hollywood celebrities. Everything I do is about performance, and when my guys step out there, there's no makeup, no script, no hiding. Whatever happens, it's out there for everyone to see. Actors and actresses can have their flaws and mistakes airbrushed and edited out. My guys have nowhere to hide. I love that pressure. I love getting these athletes ready to go and seeing all our hard work turn into a masterpiece with the world watching. I loved getting Michael in shape to play baseball and then back into basketball shape so he could win 3 more rings to go with the first 3. I love taking Kobe to the highest level and beyond so he could chase his dream for that 4th and 5th championship and still keep going for more. Loved running into Pat Riley the night Miami won the 2012 championship and having him ask me how I got Dwayne so explosive in just a few short days. You give me a situation, I will make it work. That's what drives me. A new challenge every time. A new way to do things better than we did before. I'll admit, it's not easy to impress me, and it's hard to teach me anything I can't learn on my own. But one person teaches me every day and challenges me in ways I never dreamed imaginable. And that's my beautiful and bright daughter, Pilar. She's my living proof that emotions make you weak, because when it comes to her, I'm just a daddy in love with this little girl. She's smart and beautiful, like her mother. And she's my reason for coming back from the dark side of intensity and competition and unyielding pressure into the light and love she melts me with every day of my life. My deepest wish is that everything I do makes her as proud of me as I am of her. I'm telling you that because my advice to my daughter is the same advice I pass along to you, so you know it's the truth. It goes like this. Every dream you imagine, everything you see and hear and feel in your sleep, that's not a fantasy. That's your deep instinct telling you it can all be real. Follow those visions and dreams and desires and believe what you know. Only you can turn those dreams into reality. Never stop until you do. The greatest battles you will ever fight are with yourself, and you must always be your toughest opponent. Always demand more of yourself than others demand of you. Be honest with yourself, and you'll be able to meet every challenge with confidence and the deep belief that you are prepared for anything. Life can be complicated. The truth is not. I truly believe I have zero limitations. You should believe the same about yourself. Listen to your instincts. They're telling you the truth. I want the satisfaction of knowing that every move I make, every thought, every idea, every action takes me further than anyone else has ever gone and makes me better at what I do than anyone else in the world. That's what drives me. Whatever drives you, let it take you where you want to be. Everything you want can be yours. Be a cleaner and go get it. Be relentless. Done. Next. This concludes Relentless by Tim S. Grover. Narrated by Sean Pratt. Copyright 2013 by Relentless Publishing, LLC. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Simon & Schuster, Incorporated, and was produced in the year 2014 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers. Or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.